It's Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Well, we've been hearing more about romance scams and the victims of them, even here in Victoria. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago with the Better Business Bureau, mentioning that people on dating sites or other places are getting scammed into giving money to scammers through their pursuit for love. And it is the subject now of a bigger picture report on W5, airing on CTV tomorrow night. And the investigative reporter behind this piece tomorrow is Avery Haynes. And Avery Haynes is joining us on the line right now. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here.
And good afternoon to you.
Can you walk us through what you found and what you're going to be reporting on tomorrow?
Well, the story that's airing tomorrow is a follow-up to a one-hour documentary that we put together called The Invisible Man that aired a few months ago that focused on a British Columbia woman who died by suicide after giving $1 million to these scammers. And we really uncovered this very sophisticated crime syndicate that spreads right around the globe, including chapters in Canada called the Black Axe. And when we aired this story, I was just completely bombarded by emails from people right across the country who had also been caught up in this horrible, horrible crime. And so we're focusing this week on a woman who actually gave $2 million to these scammers.
Wow. So where was this woman based?
She's based in the Toronto area.
So Toronto woman who lost $2 million.
Right. So the minute you hear that, I know your listeners and you are making a very quick judgment on, well, that's a pretty stupid woman.
Okay, sure.
Right? If I'm reading it right, that's your initial thought is, how could someone be so stupid? And, which is the way that I kind of went into this when I first started our investigation back in the summer, of just thinking, well, I mean, you haven't never met the person. How could you possibly give this kind of money away? And I think after you watch the piece, you might have a little bit more sympathy and understanding at just how these people dig their claws into victims. So what generally tends to happen is this syndicate, and it is a sophisticated organization, this Black Axe, and they're sort of responsible for the bulk of these crimes. They are trolling Facebook groups that deal with weight loss, looking for vulnerable people, dating websites that target older people who might be widowed and divorced and also not have had a lot of love in their life recently. And it starts off really pretty chaste, where it's this conversation back and forth online, and then it increases quite rapidly of very loving conversations where the person who's on the receiving end of that might not have been getting that kind of love. And then after, you know, sort of weeks to months, and they usually have a job where they can't, for whatever reason, they're top security, they're a soldier, they can't video chat or they can't meet right away. There's some kind of a crisis that develops, and the crisis needs just a small amount of money. The minute somebody gives over, even if it's $50, this file is then ratcheted up into the higher echelons of the organization, the crime syndicate, and more sophisticated folks get in. And there's an army of people who are now working to get money out of this victim.
You mentioned that this isn't just some small-time scammer. This is the work of some large criminal organizations. And there's one in particular that you talk about in your piece. Can you tell me about the Black Axe?
Right. So the Black Axe was based in Nigeria. It was a fraternity on Nigerian campuses many, many years ago. And it now is no longer a Nigerian organization. It is a global franchise. They're in 26 countries around the world, including in Canada. And they have an army of document experts, of people who speak English without an accent. They have, money mules around the world who will accept the money and then pass it on to this larger organization. In Italy, they're so prevalent that they've been declared a mafia, and they're uprooting, sort of traditional mafias in Italy. The focus there is more on sex trafficking, but in North America, it's romance fraud. And, you know, the thing that I think was most surprising for me in this investigation is there's no one who's investigating this in Canada. We're sort of seen as ripe for the picking by these guys, because the FBI the FBI at least has, you know, they're active on this. But the RCMP is not looking after romance fraud. They say it's not our mandate.
Huh. Is that because of it's so international? Like you said, this is the people doing this aren't necessarily some Canadian-based scammer who scamming other Canadians. Is that international aspect what makes the Canadian authorities unable to deal with it?
It's so complicated, right? I mean, you're talking about international wire transfers. Police have, you know, the RCMP chooses what it's going to be focusing on. And right now, money for, you know, romance scams are not part of the equation. But the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center says last year there was $20 million reported losses, $20 million in reported losses. But that just represents 1% of the victims. And I am not a mathematician, but if 20 million is 1%, that means that the cost of romance fraud in this country is potentially $2 billion a year.
Wow. It's amazing how big of a deal this is. And again, you mentioned off the top, some people might have, you know, have a bit of a strange a reaction to the story saying, oh, that's silly. I'd never fall for that. Or, you know, how silly of this woman to fall for it. But this is a big deal. It's costing a lot of money.
Well, this woman, as a divorced mother of two, she had just gotten back into the dating scene. She was completely debt-free. And 3 months into the relationship, this man that she was falling in love with, who was telling her that he was going to retire with her, that they were looking at houses that they were going to buy, he needed some help transferring money, and she had to pay a small amount of taxes. And, you know, they set her up with a fake bank account. So when she logged in to this bank account, when she was sending him money, it was showing up in the bank account as though it was being deposited there. Like, that's the level of sophistication that they're going to. And if you're not a real internet, you know, if you're not super up to speed on online banking and stuff like that, it looked completely legitimate. They were sending her documents with seals and stamps that looked like they were legitimately from this bank in the UK.
Well, lots more to cover when we get to the W5 episode tomorrow. It's on CTV at 7 o'clock. Avery Haynes is my guest, investigative reporter with W5, and this is the lead item on the show tomorrow, right?
It is, and the amazing thing is, I just want to say as a little bit of a tease, they made an arrest in the woman's case that we're focusing on.
Wow.
We tracked down his phone, his address, and we paid him a little visit, did a door knock, and found some surprising information about him that extends beyond this one woman.
They made an arrest. Wow, this story keeps getting more interesting. I will definitely be watching tomorrow, and I hope everybody listening will be too. Avery Haynes, thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
And we are right out of time for the show. I am Ryan Price. I am signing off for the week today, but we will be back with the afternoon show with Josh Hilden filling in for me coming up at 3. Don't miss it, because Josh will be giving away our last pair of tickets to see Randy Bachman and Burton Cummings when they come to Victoria on July 6th. So that ticket giveaway is still happening this afternoon. And in the meantime, I'll see you next week.